that beautiful message and song. He really does love us. Oh, we just don't know how much he does. Thank you for sharing that with us. I was talking to a staff member yesterday of the funeral home, and he was sharing with me that a church here in town is having their last service today, closing doors. I thought about how sad. And what they're doing is celebrating what the church has done. And it's a good thing to do, because I'm sure that the church has done some great things in the past. He shared with me how he remembered that the church was, when it was packed out, no longer the case. So they're having, as it were, a funeral for that church, closing the doors. They're celebrating the life of that church. And that's the situation with a number of churches today, closing the doors. That's sad, sad. What would happen, what would you think that should happen to Sand Hill? Lord, we don't want that to happen. No. Or any church. Of course, church is the place people go and worship the Lord. And hear the Bible taught. Hear the Bible proclaimed. Sing praises unto God. Worship Him. Getting together, fellowship. And I keep telling you, I don't know of any place I'd rather be than to be here with you folks and sharing with you. I just enjoy being with you. And I just can't imagine how it'd be not be able to together with the church family. But I thought that was so sad for a church to close the doors. And there are a number of them doing it, but we need to do all we can, work all we can, pray all we can, keep our churches going, vibrant, and open. But that's not what I'm going to talk about this morning. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. I want to think about what happens when the Bible is lost. What happens when the Bible is lost? And also what happens when the Bible is found. And let's look at it. Chapter 22 of 2 Kings. Verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. Unto carpenters, builders, masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, said, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Milcah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah a servant of the king, said, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. As we know, this evening, we will kick off, or have the kickoff, for Vacation Bible School here at Sand Hill. And then next Sunday evening, we'll begin the school. Bible school, what a wonderful and exciting time it is. It's a lot of hard work, but a great and wonderful time. A time when there's a concentrated effort to teach the Bible. To teach it not just on a Sunday, but several days. When children and youth will come together to hear the Bible taught and engage in activities for the week. It'll be a great and wonderful week. A time when the Bible is taught. But have you ever wondered what it would be like not to have a Bible? Well, of course you couldn't have Bible school without Bibles, could you? But tucked away over in the book of 2 Kings, also found in the book of Chronicles, the same story, is a story of a nation who didn't have a Bible. Now, who was given one, however, they were given a Bible years back at a place called Sinai, where the people of Israel and Moses had camped around a mountain there, and God had given Moses the law. And it was in a book. And this was the book of the law. It was a book that was to guide the people in their living, the way they were to live, in their relationship with each other and with God. But that book had gotten lost. And it had gotten lost because they had a king before this young man who ignored the book and didn't care for it. And so he brought in all kinds of gods, idol gods. He even set altars up in the temple court to the gods of heaven, to the bodies out there. And all kind of idol gods were worshipped throughout the country. And this king didn't care at all about the things of God. It was other gods that he was interested in. It reminds me of our world today, whenever there's so many other gods that we are interested in and that grabs us and grabs our attention and our lives. Not caring about the book, the Bible, not caring about what it says, not interested in it. I was talking to a man some time ago, and he said, "When I read the Bible, I don't get nothing out of it, so I don't read it anymore. Don't read it." Well, how you gonna get anything out of it if you quit reading it? Now, let me tell you something. If you read the Bible, you're going to find something as you read that will jump out at you. You're going to find something that's going to speak to your heart if you read it. Just read it. There's something you may not, I don't understand all I read in it. But I can tell you as I read along, something just jumps out there. Boy, that's great. Boy, that's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful how God speaks through his word? But this king didn't want anything to do. So he brought in every idol god he could into the land of Judah. And in the midst of all of that, the Bible got lost. They had one Bible. And it was lost. All they had was oral hand-me-downs from people who had remembered something about the book, about the law, but not much. They had a few prophets who brought words from the Lord, but paid them no attention. And so it was a nation, a priest, high priest, without the book of the law, without the Bible. There was not one. Can you imagine how it would be like not to have a Bible? You know, we got them everywhere, don't we? We got Bibles in our pews. We got Bibles in our homes. There you find Bibles in some motels now. You find Bibles in doctor's office. You find them in bookstores. We got oodles of Bibles, but I'm afraid that to many people, the Bible is lost because it doesn't matter to them. They don't want to read it and find out what it says. But Bible school is a time when the Bible is taught, and we got Bibles, and we need to be teaching the Bible. That's why Sunday school is important. That's why children's sermons are important. That's why youth workers are important. That's why youth leaders are important. That's why Sunday school teachers are important, teaching our children. Oh, you see, they're not going to get it. If they don't get it at home or at church, they're not likely to get it. The days of schools, the school teachers being able to read the Bible, their children are gone. They don't get it there. They need, and the only place to get it is at home or at church. So the Bible was lost. And the nation was gone.
into sin and idolatry, away from God.
And so one day, this young king, now can you imagine? He was appointed king at age of 8. Now, some of you may have a boy that old, that age. 8 years old and was king of a country. I suppose the youngest leader of any nation today was probably North Korea. But he was an 8-year-old boy. Now, he needed guidance. He needed teaching. But there was no one to teach him except from what they could remember. He didn't have a Bible. They couldn't teach him, the Bible didn't have one. And so, what was he to do? Well, nothing to do but follow what they were telling him. What they were telling him to do. And he watched this for 10 years. And he took a walk through the temple. And he saw all his idols set up in the temple courts. And he looked in the temple, and he saw it was broken. It was in disarray. No doubt where the idol God worshipers were tore up the temple. Oh, it was desecrated. And this young king said, there's something wrong here. This doesn't seem right. He didn't know what was wrong, but he knew something was wrong with what he saw. He saw all these altars and he saw the temple broken. And he said, there's something wrong. He said, I'm going to fix that. And so he gave the priest orders. Go take the money that's coming in and give it to the workers so they can repair the temple. And so they did. They went and gave the money to the workers, and they started the work of repairing the temple. And the priest and the secretary, the chief and the scribe, were walking around in there. I don't know what happened, but I just imagine a priest reached down and pulled a board that was loose, and he saw something. What did he see? He reached down and picked it up, dusted it off. He said, look, to his secretary, look, I have found the book of the law. I have found the Bible. And he handed it to the secretary. And the secretary took it and read it, and he was alarmed at what he read. Oh my, he saw what God had said he was going to do to the land of Judah if they did what they had done already and brought these idol gods into the temple and desecrated the temple and brought idol gods into the land. And judgment was right at the door. God was going to send another country in to bring judgment, to capture them, destroy some of them, and carry his remnant into captivity. And he read it, and so he took it to the king. And the king said, read it to me. And he read it to the king, and the king was alarmed. As if to say, oh, I knew there was something wrong with this. And so the Bible was read, and the king was so upset with what he's read, what they have read to him. He read also of the judgment of God at the door, and he rent his clothes, which is indicated he was ashamed of what had happened. And so, when he found the Bible, and when he read it, what happened? Reform. He started doing something about the problem they had.
It's important that we read the Bible. It's important that we are taught the Bible. It's important that we have the organizations that we have to get that done.
As I said, you can't get it in schools. I read some years back. We were living down in Saluda. And there was a private school not too far from where we live called King's Academy. You may have heard of it. Christian school. They were engaged in sports activities just like other schools. But there was a journalist worked with the state paper in Columbia. And he wrote an article one day in the opinion page of the paper. And he wrote how that he had heard about the school. He had heard rumors about it, people talking about it. And he couldn't believe what he was hearing. So he said, I'm going myself. I'm going to that school. And I'm going to find out for myself if what I'm hearing is true. I want to find out. There's something special about that school. I want to find out about it. And so he called the principal, got an appointment, and he went. And the principal was showing him around. He was walking down the hall, and he was meeting students. He said, something was missing. I didn't hear any vulgarity. I didn't hear any profanity. But what I heard was yes, sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. What I heard was that. And so I was really taken back with that because I'd been in other schools and it wasn't that way. And he said, walking on down the hall, he came to the lockers. And he said he watched the students as they came and unlatched the doors on the locker and pulled them open, placed their belongings in there and shut them back. The journalist said to the principal, they're not locking their lockers? He said, no, they don't lock their lockers. They don't have to. Because we tell our children, what belongs to you belongs to you, and what belongs to somebody else belongs to them. You stay out of other people's lockers, and use your own, and they don't bother no other lockers. We teach them the right way. We teach them what the Bible says about how to live in relationship with each other. The Bible teaching makes a difference in one's life. So the temple needed repairing, and the work continued. And the king said, after hearing the word of the Lord from the book, the Bible, he said, we're getting rid of all these altars to idol gods. Take them away out of the temple. Go all over this country and get rid of all that. We are returning to God. And it did. There was reform. And the king sent messengers to a woman who was a prophet, a prophetess, and asked her about the matter. Well, she had a word from the Lord. She said, sent word to the king. Said, because you have read the book and because you have started these reforms and getting rid of all these idol altars, worshipers out of here, because you've done this, you will not face the judgment that I plan to send upon this country. The judgment will be delayed. You won't face, you will live your life. How? What a difference reading the Bible makes.
I'm going to tell you a little personal story, and then I'm going to close. When I was about 15, 16, I was not a Christian. And I was in sin, living in sin, and where I spent most of my teenage years. But I went in the house one day, and I saw my father reading the Bible, which is something very unusual. And I went in another day, and I saw him reading it. And I thought to myself, if Daddy's reading the Bible, there must be something good about it. There must be something in there that I need to read. So when he laid it down, I slipped around and got it and went off to myself. And I began reading. And I read like this scripture, like this Bible was been read of judgment. I read those passages about the coming of the Lord Jesus. I read those passages about him coming, and there's an alarm went off within me. I promise you it did. An alarm went off within me. And I was so afraid that Jesus was coming back, and I wasn't ready. So afraid of that. I could look in the summertime and see a black cloud building, a storm cloud. And I was scared to death that cloud was coming, the lightning might strike me, the wind might blow the house down, and it might kill me, and I might die, and I wasn't ready. Everything scared me. One night I was out in sin, and I saw the formation of clouds and the moon kind of got together. It was so frightening. And I was living in misery. I was living under heavy conviction that there was something terribly wrong with me. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to handle that. And I just withdrew from doing many of the things I was doing. And then the Ten Commandments movie came over here to Kershaw. Sue and I told her, I said, let's go see that movie. And we had, at the time, I had Ricky and made arrangements to leave him with her older sister. And we came over here, we saw that. And I watched how God was using Moses and how Moses had given his life to God. And I became even more and more miserable. I became heavily convicted that something was wrong with me because I had read the Bible. When we got back to her sister's house, she went in and to get Ricky. And while she was gone, I just bowed my head over the steering wheel. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to do this. But one thing I know, that something is terribly wrong with me. And right now, the best I know how to do, best I know how, I turn my life over to you. I give it to you. Man, a big burden. Big burden was gone. No longer was I afraid. And the next, I know it was true. Because the next Sunday morning, a man came by. Said, let's ride somewhere. I knew where he was going, but I don't know why, but I rode with him. I knew what he was going to do. I knew what he and I would do together. And we went to a place, and he ordered a can of beer. And he said, you want one? I said, no, I don't want one. He looked at me astonished, like, because ordinarily that wouldn't be the case. Oh, yeah. He drank down and ordered another, and he said, you want one? Sure you don't. I said, no, I don't want one. And from then on, there was no more. My language changed. The Lord taught me some new words. And it came from being a teenager, reading the book. I challenge you to read it. There's power through the Holy Spirit when you read that book. It's God's word. It's alive. And that's why it's so important that we teach it, that we preach it, and that we apply it, believe it, and live by it. Your Bible lost. Find it. Read it. You may be here today. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He may be convicting you. You need him in your life. He died for you. I read that when I was reading. I read how he died for me. I read how he shed his blood for me. And how he loved me. And he forgave me my sins. And accepted me, and I'm his child today. And when I leave here, I'm going to be with him forever. If you are here and you never trusted Jesus, we invite you to come today and receive him into your life. Just come and say, yes, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. And I want you to forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died for me. He'll save you. You may be here, you feel the need of rededicating your life to God, you come. As we stand and sing our hymn, number 307, will you come?